This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As social media has embedded itself into our lives, so too has the national conversation about bullying. Facebook, Twitter, and other forms of social media have given bullies boundless opportunities to torture their victims. What used to be something that happened in school halls or cafeterias and classrooms now find its way into every corner of the lives of young people. One of the voices that has joined this conversation about bullying is that of a Michigan filmmaker. Her newest film, a docudrama shot in Oakland County, is called The Bully Chronicles, bringing us the story of teen bullying through the eyes of the bully.
I guess people are talking about me being a mean person, thinking that I'm a bitch. And I don't know what makes them say that.
That's the voice of Avery Keller, a popular high school sophomore whose physical, emotional, and cyberbullying results in the suicide attempt of her former best friend. Filmmaker Amy Weber joins us now to talk about her film, The Bully Chronicles, and her message to kids and parents. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia.
So you are a filmmaker. You are a mom of two girls, but you bring a really unique perspective to this conversation because you were a bully. How bad a bully were you, and when did this happen?
Well, it was in grade school. When I was six, I think I have to back up a little bit because of what, inspired that behavior in myself. When I was 6 years old, we lived in Saginaw, and I had a friend named Billy. I still think of him quite often these days. And Billy and I were very close friends in school. And when I started going over to his house, he lived around the block from me. When I started going to his house after school, things drastically changed. And Billy started to abuse me in many, many ways, both physically, mentally. If I didn't do what he wanted me to do, he would lock me into a closet or in his trundle bed. He would threaten me constantly. And as a six-year-old, of course, I had never been exposed to this type of behavior before or treatment. And even as a six-year-old, I wasn't one to go out and project this out to people in the world of what was happening. I kept it very close.
You locked it up.
I did. And
you kept going over.
And I did. And I did. And it eventually escalated into a one-day event where I could no longer hide. I did mention to his mom some of the behavior that was going on, and she said, "Oh, not my Billy. Billy would never do such a thing." But to tell my own parents was very difficult for me for some reason. I was embarrassed. I didn't want them to think that I would allow someone to pick on me like that. So one afternoon, my mom was coming home from the store. She drove around the block, stopped by. We were outside in front of his house. She asked if I wanted to come home. And I wanted to say so badly yes. He stood behind me. He said, "Say no, say no." So I said no. She drove away, and he grabbed the back of my head, and he said, "You're so lucky you said no." And he threw me down face first into the cement, which damaged my four front teeth so badly that when my adult teeth grew in, they grew in a very dark gray. Obviously, I could no longer hide what was going on and had to disclose to my parents exactly what was happening. And from that day, I was safe from him. When we moved when I was age seven, things changed for me, and I decided new city, new school, things were going to be a little different.
A new you. And how were they going to be different?
I wasn't going to let anybody push me around. So first day of school, I kind of built this reputation for myself. I was fairly tough. I hung around all boys. I was very athletic. So I was used to the rough and tough. And I guess it was just this energy about me that I put out to the world that I didn't want to be messed with. I didn't want you looking at me a certain way. I didn't want you picking on me. And I would nip it right away as soon as it would happen. A boy would tease me or get physical with me, and I would fight him, and I would beat him up.
All right.
And I wasn't allowed to fight. My mother was very much against me fighting. In fact, I would get into trouble. But I would always say, "He started it." You know, isn't that what we always say as young people? "He started it." But I started to realize around the third grade that this reputation wasn't really serving me. My friends weren't really my friends. They were people who stood by me so I didn't pick on them.
That's a pretty deep insight for a third grader.
I noticed things. I was an observer, mm-hmm. and I talked about a lot of things except for myself. I never really talked about Amy. I talked about everybody else. And I wasn't a mean-spirited person. I was not what you would define today as a mean girl.
Okay.
I was a very lost young person who was destructive. I was violent. I was destructive. And I projected a lot of pain that I had, not just from the incident that I went through that I never really got to talk about, but also because I wasn't always heard in my home. And I felt sometimes that my voice didn't matter. And I think that's why I was so aggressive, because that was the only way I really knew how to communicate how I was feeling without literally saying how I was feeling.
And when did you move beyond punching people out and being aggressive and into a more constructive way of making friends and being around people?
Middle school was when I decided to change my ways. Now, I have to kind of give a lot of credit to my mother, who always stood by me and loved me through all of those aggressive years when she was constantly coming to the principal's office, taking me home because he would say, we can't have this behavior in school. Mm-hmm. And she never made me feel like I was a bad person. You know, I get kind of emotional about that because my mom was just somebody who unconditionally loved me. And she was that person that I always felt safe that I could come and talk to. And even though I wasn't able to express what I was going through during that time, I always knew she was there and she would always love me.
So you got off that track.
I did.
And you've kind of taken what happened to you and what you did in school, and you've turned it into quite a campaign, your movie The Bully Chronicles, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I want to talk first about a recent article you wrote for the Huffington Post. It's a letter to the teens accused of bullying that 12-year-old Florida girl to the point where she committed suicide by jumping off a tower. And your post was headlined, "From One Bully to Another, An Open Letter to Rebecca Sedgwick's Bullies." And in it, you say, you are not bad people. The fact that one of those two girls who were charged posted an incriminating statement on Facebook that clearly enraged the sheriff in Florida, and he arrested the 12 and 14-year-olds. They've pleaded not guilty to felony charges of aggravated stalking. But the world was appalled, and I think a lot of people would feel with this instance or that of Phoebe Prince, the Irish student in Massachusetts who committed suicide, you know what? Throw the book at them as a deterrent to others. So you can understand why people look at that and they are appalled.
I completely understand that. I call that an inflammatory reaction. Mm. And it is a reaction. And we always want to protect the weak. We want to go into that schoolyard. And our personal experiences absolutely come into play when it comes to these reactions. What we might have felt, and we want to walk into that schoolyard and protect that young person who is being bullied, picked on, whatever term you want to use, and we want to give it to the bully. We want to stick it to him, an eye for an eye. This is our society, and this is how we're really raised to believe that we have this perception that people who harm other people are bad people. Mm. They were born bad people. They have no empathy at all. They have no ability to feel empathy at all. And that the only way we can really deal with these people is we need to get rid of them.
So what are you saying to these two bullies in your letter?
Well, to Caitlin and Guadalupe, who are the young ladies, absolutely 100% had some part. Their behavior led to the demise of her spirit. Mm-hmm. And what I said to them and what I wanted them to know, and all people who identify with this behavior, is that they are not bad people. They are making very bad choices. They need to stop and take a look at the choices that they're making. And for these young ladies, I wanted them to know that there is a hand reaching down there, offering them help to help pull them out of that hole. And it begins is literally you have to build this ladder to get yourself out. You cannot just be pulled out of it. To understand that you're living up to this reputation and everyone's kind of expecting you to be this negative person mm-hmm. who behaves this way. And, oh, isn't this all funny? And we're just playing around and we're being funny. And there's really no understanding of the consequences of what's coming out of your mouth, what you're typing online. Absolute disconnect. There's an unconsciousness that's so deep that it's literally down in that hole with you. So what I wanted them to know is to begin building the ladder to get themselves out. It begins with talking. It begins with sharing your story of how you feel. And even though we don't create a safe space for young people to come forward and talk about, I do think I identify as this person. It's embarrassing. It's just as embarrassing for the bully it is for the victim. Sure, they boast about it, and sure, they'll brag about it to certain people, but put them in the public eye or put them in a forum that they know they're not welcome.
Shine a light on them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they cower. And why do they do this? Because deep down, this is not who they really are. This isn't what they really stand for. This is a actual defense coping mechanism in dealing with the pain that they don't even understand, and a projection of that pain onto someone else that, yes, it does make them feel better. Yes, for that one moment when they're brutalizing another person, there is a relief that the focus isn't on me. I don't have to think about me. I don't have to think about what my life is.
Right, right.
I can make you think about what your life is, and I can put everybody else's eyes on you too, so those eyes are off of me.
You actually show this in action, in a sense, in your movie, The Bully Chronicles, which you shot in Southeast Michigan. Give us a sense of what is in the movie and the plot of the movie.
Sure. After the attempted suicide of a 16-year-old girl named Jessica Burns results in a coma, a documentary film crew go into the school to investigate what had happened to her. And it's through that investigation that they meet another 16-year-old named Avery Keller, who they are quick to learn was her tormentor, her bully. Mm-hmm. And it is through this investigation that we are offered this unprecedented look into the life of a bully.
And what it's like through her eyes.
And what it's like through her eyes. And we get to learn about Avery firsthand through video journals that she does for the film crew, welcoming us into her family, mm-hmm. getting to know that dynamic, and learning from her and watching as her world changes as a result of her actions over the past 6 months of her life.
What do you hope this adds to the national conversation about bullying? Because it's everywhere. We've got the headlines of the trouble in the Miami Dolphins camp, where you had Jonathan Martin walking away from his team because of what he claims is bullying behavior. So it's beyond teenage mean girl things. It really is part of our life.
It is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people who are in touch and in tune these days would say that it's absolutely getting worse. And we have to do something outside of our comfort zone in order to finally bring an end to this crisis. We have to bring it full circle into the light and shine the brightest light on it and expose all truth surrounding it. And that is the hope that the Bully Chronicles offers, if you will, a spark to ignite a conversation that humanizes the issue on all sides. The bully side, the victim side, the parent side, the school side, administrative side, on every angle of this, but especially getting to the heart of these so-called monsters, getting into their minds, their hearts, finding out what's going on with them, and what these underlying issues are that are creating so much havoc that they project so much pain onto other people.
Oakland County filmmaker Amy Weber, and you can learn more about her film at the website. It is thebullychronicles.com. Amy, thanks for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.